Do you like to fail? If not, you're probably living in your comfort zone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Listen in as we begin to discuss how to step out and fail well.
And grow.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Joseph.
Crystal.
A couple weeks ago.
Three,
in fact. We did a podcast on starting small.
We did.
And it's actually been helpful for me, as I've been thinking more about that.
Did you re-listen to it?
I did.
So we're podcasting for us.
Perfect. We're hitting our target audience. But I realized that there are obstacles to starting small sometimes.
Do tell.
Well, in particular, sometimes I think if I start, I will fail. And so then I don't bother starting.
Huh. Do we want to talk about that a little bit?
I do want to talk about that a little bit.
Because there's a book that I read, and maybe you did?
I started it. It was life-changing, but I borrowed it. And
had to give it back.
Yeah. I should get it.
Yeah. Anyway, I read it a couple of times, I think.
And I feel like I've read it, because we've talked about it a lot.
So let's talk about it tonight.
All right. What's the book?
Mindsets by Carol Dweck. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit old now. It's, close to a decade old? Something like that?
Maybe.
Which in the world of like these pop culture things, it's probably pretty old. But one of the advantages is we've been thinking about it and talking about it for a while. So what is Mindsets about?
It is about how if we view challenges with a growth perspective versus a fixed perspective. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah. Yeah. As I recall, Carol Dweck really wanted to hone in on how people respond to failure and noticed that there were two basic camps in their responses to failure. For some people, failure was like a brand burned into them, irrevocable. It's part of who they are now. They failed this test. They failed this interview. They failed this project. Therefore, they are that failure. And for other people, failure was actually this really exciting thing. And she was like, that's weird. I think she basically mentions that she, for the most part, found herself in that first camp.
Mm-hmm. And the failure and how we handle failure links to or relates to the starting small. We talked about baby steps a little bit and how baby steps are so wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet a baby isn't defined by their initial not being able to walk.
Mm-hmm.
They keep trying. They keep being willing to try and fall and fail until they figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And the world understands that. Like I've heard at least one speaker, probably several in my time, who have talked about how, you know, nobody goes up to a baby who takes their first wobbling step and then falls down and says, you loser, you failure, what are you doing? Like, that's not actually how people approach the gaining of that set of skills. Across the board, people are either encouraging, or if you don't hang out around children, maybe you're indifferent. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because it seems as though the language that other people use towards our failure does have a pretty big impact on how we view our failure.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stories that Carol Dweck shares that I think also paints a good picture of the distinction between growth and fixed mindset also mm-hmm. show that.
Yeah. So I'll tell a couple of the stories from the book.
Yeah.
One of the stories is about two separate classrooms of children, both given a relatively easy puzzle to solve. And in the first room, the administrator of this puzzle says, after they've completed it, you know, good job. You must be so smart to have finished. And in the second group, the administrator says, good job. You must have worked so hard to have finished. And then both rooms are given the choice. Do they want to take another easy puzzle or more difficult puzzle. And the first room, where they were told they were so smart, pretty much across the board, they went with the easy puzzle. And for those who were praised for the effort that they put into it, they were praised, they chose the more difficult puzzle. Right, and this is like a counterintuitive thing. You'd think that people who were told that they were smart would want to go on and continue to prove that they're smart. But actually, it has a negative impact. People apparently want to continue to seem smart. So if they were then to fail at a puzzle, they would no longer have that label of smart, right? They were tying their identity up with their ability to solve puzzles. And as long as that identity was in peril, they were unhappy. So they chose the least perilous route. Mm-hmm. But for those who were told that their effort was valued, and their identity was not tied up in their work, they actually appreciated the challenge. And they thought, you know, whether I can solve the puzzle or not, I can at least show forth how well I can work, that I can be a hard worker, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's with kids. But she also had a test with adults, a study with adults, where adults were coming in to learn computer programming. And with the one classroom, the teacher told them, so computer programming, it's basically like an art or a gift. Some people have it, some people don't. Some people just have this skill set to be good programmers, and others people, they have other purposes in life, not computer programming. In the other classroom, they were told computer programming is like any other skill. The more work you put into it, the better you're going to be at it. So if you work hard, you're going to get computer programming. And these adults, you know, they were totally voluntary whether or not they wanted to continue taking these programming classes. The dropout rate for the first one was through the roof, whereas in the second one, people continued to come and learn because they knew that the more work that they did, the more they would get out of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting one.
It was a very interesting one because we gave a talk
about this topic.
About this topic and told that story to a bunch of students. And afterward,
one of the students approached us and said that they said the first thing in her programming class. They said,
I was like, wait, no, you mean this? They said the second thing in your programming class.
And she clarified, nope, they told her in her programming class at a
prestigious
university that programming is a gift and you either have it or you don't. And so she thought she didn't.
And so she hated computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we had an actual computer programmer at our talk, and he was like, that was nonsense. Clearly, people always continue to make mistakes in programming. Part of the fun of programming is going through and finding mistakes. He was very helpful. He was not tinged by this.
Funnily enough, I do believe that this young lady then was able to overcome the fixed mindset that she had been
by how much was
given.
She able to overcome it?
I do believe after she graduated from said university, she went on to teach programming to high schoolers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, which is to say that just because somebody has praised you for being smart doesn't mean that you are fixed in a fixed mindset forever.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things for me that's been really important in pursuing these ideas of fixed mindset versus growth mindset is not only identifying where are areas where I have ended up with a fixed mindset for whatever reason, and how do I transition to having a growth mindset with these things, and knowing that effort can make a difference and that it is possible to get better at these things. But the identity piece of the puzzle that you mentioned, Joseph, I think is also really has been really important to me, because a lot of times when I'm unwilling to figure out how to grow in a particular area, it's because my identity has gotten wrapped up in how bad I am at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have this fear that, well, if I were to get better, if I weren't to be bad at this thing anymore, then I would somehow lose my identity, which...
So you're actually clinging to that identity of failure.
Yeah. And that's dangerous and not good on mm-hmm. a lot of levels. So this has been helpful for me just in terms of even healing from and identifying wounds and being able to say, oh, I'm clinging to this identity. I have this fixed mindset about this thing that's clearly an area that I need to invite the Lord into and enter into the drama of prayer and enter into to healing so that I can have a fixed or so that I can have a growth mindset about mm-hmm. That particular topic.
So another story that we could tell because we both have this in our background would be about cooking.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, I didn't think that I could cook. Growing up, I was never asked to cook. I think there would have been a certain amount of effort to teaching me how to cook that was probably like too much for too little gain in the estimation of my parents, which is fine. But I interpreted that as, well, then I probably can't cook. So even the simplest of meals, I would sort of be a little bit paralyzed to do anything with. It wasn't until I was forced to cook, first for the men's house that I lived in college. We had weekly dinners. And so every 6 weeks, I had to make dinner. I tried to get out of it by buying pizza for everybody. But my other co-leader of that house told me that that was not an option. And then by becoming a bachelor out in the world post-college and making meals for myself and also making meals for friends, realizing for the most part, it's just the application of heat in various ways. And I was like, I can apply heat to things. And so now, you know, maybe I don't cook all the time. In fact, I don't. But it's not an intimidating thing. It's like, as long as I know what to apply heat to and when and how, I'm usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You even had a great roast recipe last week out of the blue, which was fun.
Well, it was in a book that told me exactly what to do and when to do it. And I was like, I can follow directions. You know, directions are not an insurmountable obstacle. They're actually the means by which I can cook. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew that there were instruction manuals for cooking?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I similarly, I mean, I had a few things up my sleeve. I knew that I could cook a couple of things, but I, especially once we got married and feeding a family, having additional people to feed, I think I maybe said a lot of times in the first couple of years of our marriage that I was always worried that I was starving my family. Mm-hmm. And in part because I think I was really identifying with not knowing how to cook and feeling overwhelmed by how to make decisions on how to put a complete meal together. And then we did
the whole 30.
And the big thing with that was less about the pieces and parts of the Whole 30, but more about there were recipes. I was following a meal plan, mm-hmm. essentially, and it was giving me instructions. I was following a recipe, and it was teaching me what does a good dinner plate look like? What are good proportions? What are different things that go together? And it was teaching me how to think through how to make a meal. So mm-hmm. I could cook rice, or I could cook chicken, but I hadn't quite figured out how to cook a meal that mm-hmm. was going to come together and be filling and wholesome and have all the pieces and parts. And so being given sort of another instruction manual of sorts was helpful for me in learning how to cook. And I think the thing I really like about this particular topic for us
is that it doesn't reveal anything vulnerable about me.
That's not what I was going to say.
Okay.
But I like that it's so ordinary. I think so often with, you know, thinking about fixed mindsets and growth mindsets, I'm often thinking about, oh, you know, playing music or all these different things that seem really exciting or seem, or maybe things that are more vulnerable, but that this can apply to anything, but it, also thinking about the starting small, which initiated this conversation, that it doesn't, it's not that it has to apply to everything right now.
Mm-hmm. Like I could become a much better cook.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have latent skills. And I know that there are instruction manuals for making more fancy meals. But I also have the luxury of saying, like, I don't need to grow in this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm capable of growing in this. I feel totally comfortable with that. But this isn't where I want to spend my time right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather pull out my clarinet. I'd rather read more of, there are several books that I'm reading right now. Those books.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is an interesting piece that ties back into the identity part, but also into, you brought up, as we were kind of discussing and preparing, the difference between being and becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to talk about that for a minute?
We can talk about it for a minute. We're trying to keep these episodes shorter as per some of our feedback. Essentially, human beings are in a large part, we're actually human becomings in a lot of ways. There is an essential nature to us that is, we do exist, we have identities, but so much of who we are is still in the process of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, creatures who are on the way. This is why the idea of a pilgrim church is such a powerful notion, and why having a kind of pilgrim spirituality is such a... Did I ever tell you how much I've been thinking about the Torah being the book of people on the way in the wilderness?
Hmm.
Like Moses just telling these stories again and again and again to the people while they were on their way. Just been reflecting a lot about that recently. Hmm. But we are creatures on the way. Our stories are about journeys. They're mm-hmm. not about destinations usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like... By the time Frodo enters the Undying Lands, that's when the book ends. We don't get another, 5,000 pages of him resting in the Undying Lands. We have all of the journey
mm-hmm.
to the destination.
And I think that this is the thing I'd like to sort of wrap up this conversation with in terms of the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset is this. When we're on the journey, we're deciding... Where are we journeying to? Where is that journey? What is that journey looking like? Hopefully with the Lord in pursuing his will, and with the people around us that are on the journey with us. But it's not to say that we have to say, oh, I need to have a growth mindset about every single solitary last thing, and I need to be pursuing growth in all of those things right now. That when we are deciding what we want to start small in, we don't want to let a fixed mindset stop us from pursuing a particular area, but we also do get to decide which areas we want to pursue and to grow in. I think the thing that I find important to remember is not to identify with the things that I'm not going to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say, well, I'm just not that, or I'm not good at that, and I'm not ever going to be. That's just not worth.
Yeah. And I mean, part of it is this underlying fear, right? The fear of losing my identity as it is right now,
mm-hmm.
the fear of facing failure, the fear of facing obstacles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, it's so important to see the role of fear in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to help us identify dangers and obstacles, but then we have to make the decision, is this actually the route that I'm supposed to take? And if it is, I go through the obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not the route that I'm supposed to take, then I'm not deciding to go the other way out of fear. I'm doing it because that's the way that I ought to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And to be at peace in those decisions, right? We talk in discernment matters about, am I at peace? If there's an obstacle behind me that I'm afraid of, I'm not really at peace turning to the other thing, even if I think it's probably the better idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at peace when I realize that the option behind me, if that was the way I was supposed to go, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So not saying we have to grow in every direction all at once, but that we're free to grow as we ought to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're called to live in that freedom. So there's also this question of how to develop a growth mindset. part of it we hinted at is the language in which we refer to our activity. You know, do we tell the child you're so smart, or do we say, you know, good work, kid, nice effort? Do we talk to each other about, you know, the characteristics that we're currently demonstrating as if that's who we are? Or do we acknowledge the goodness of the person before us and appreciate their qualities as they are right now, knowing that they change over time?
Mm-hmm. And I think as we ideally just appreciate people for their existence, mm-hmm. that creates the space and freedom for people to realize the joy of being, the joy of having been created.
And then from that joy, to be able to actually do our best effort,
mm-hmm.
and face failure, you know, out of joy of being. We learned a little bit about something called the catechesis of the Good Shepherd. We're not going to get too very far into it. But so there's fixed mindset praising based on qualities like you're handsome, you're beautiful, you're fast, you're smart. You know, all of these are accidentals. All of these things can change over time and will change over time necessarily, right? Versus, you know, appreciating effort, you know, you trained really hard for that race. Or, you know, I really admire the conscientious way in which you chose the clothing that you're wearing and the fact that you showered today, or whatever it is, or the work that you put into studying. But in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, apparently you don't even praise kids for their effort. You just basically let them know how good it is that they are there and how good they are. And then from that fundamental affirmation of their being, they're free to go and explore. And of course they're going to put their best effort because they're responding out of affirmation. And why wouldn't we give our best effort then?
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, definitely an ideal to pursue, to affirm people so much that their best effort is just a matter of course. But if we are going to talk about effort, to not say, you know, you're the failure, to say, hey, this is the failure that you, you know, have committed. What do we learn from that? You know, the cool thing about the growth mindset people is when they get correction, they say, oh, good, now I know where to work harder. You know, they get a test back and they see the ones they get wrong and say, huh, I guess I should study that one a little bit more. And they see the process of education is ongoing. And not like, this test was my defining moment. I was talking with a couple of men over lunch today, and somebody mentioned SATs, and I had to bite my tongue because I wanted to tell them what I got on my SATs. And how long ago was that? How ridiculous it is that I hold on to that, because I still feel part of me, like that is part of my identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of my past, but it's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that one snapshot is my intellect. It was how I happened to do at age 17 and 18 on a test that people made.
Mm-hmm. And because growth mindset folks
mm-hmm.
like to receive feedback
mm-hmm.
and learn from it and grow from it and get better from it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we recently, as you mentioned, received feedback on is
Shorter podcasts
might be nice. Now, we could launch into how this relates to the virtues, but I'm just going to say that as a teaser so that we could have a whole additional podcast that's also shorter.
Also, speaking of feedback, if people had feedback, feel free to email us at ouroutpost@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, A Word from Our Outpost with Joseph and Crystal Gruber. It can be found on the Book of Face. Facebook.
And apparently people that podcast say things about like leaving reviews because it's helpful or something.
Oh yeah, if you wanted to leave a positive review, do that on the podcast playing application you use. And if you have a negative review, do that at ouroutpost@gmail.com and send it to us
and let us know how we can get better.
And then
we can get better
because we want to grow. But we also, I mean, if this is truly a wretched podcast,
then you can leave bad reviews on all the public places and we'll just stop.
Yeah.
Because or maybe we'll just keep going.
Maybe we'll just start a new podcast, different word from our outpost, and start fresh.
Anyways. We'd love to get your feedback. And now I'm going to close in prayer.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk together, to record these conversations, to put these ideas out there. We pray that they would be received well by those who would find them helpful, and that those who could receive them well will find them. And we ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Take my hand and let's be on our way. And now finally I can say that I love you.
From our outpost to yours, yes, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's Skoch.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.